Unless I kill him first, and then kill myself. And on that cheerful thought, he started walking toward the temple. It occurred to him, in a hazy, light-headed, beyond-the-end-of-his-endurance kind of way, that if the criffing thing was locked, he was going to look like a fool. But it wasn't. The double doors swung open easily at a touch. And when he crossed the threshold, lights came on, dim and glowing and red, like the distant nebula in Zagula's night sky. As if to say, "Welcome, stranger, enter and be amazed." As if it knew he was nothing to fear. These Sith, these criffing Sith. Who, what, are they? There were no stairs inside the temple, no second or third floor. It was one cavernous chamber, like a ballroom for giants, or a church designed to make mortal men feel small. The air was cool and felt strangely expectant, tasted slightly metallic, not quite stale. The floor underfoot was tessellated black and crimson. The design was unsettling, crawling across the eyes, slithering into the back brain, invoking misery and loss. Bale shivered and lifted his gaze. The enormous room contained no furniture, no tables or chairs, not even a stool. And he couldn't see the source of the lighting either. It seemed to ooze from the walls like a marshland miasma. As his eyes adjusted to the low lighting, he realized there were alcoves built into the walls. He headed left, his footsteps loud in the silence, the dirt and gravel ground into his boot soles, sounding gritty and grating. He wondered if he was ruining the intricate mosaic work and found he didn't much care. The first alcove contained old books, very old and leather-bound. Thick, bulky tomes with raised lettering on the spines. Like the floor's tessellation, they made his skin crawl. He folded his arms, wincing at the burn in his left shoulder, and quickly walked by. The second alcove was empty, but from it emanated such a chill that he scuttled past, like a child told that this house was haunted. The third alcove contained chunks of geode, livid green and bile yellow and dull purple crystals that glowed in the reddish light, unwholesome and diseased. Feeling distinctly queasy, he moved to the next alcove. Now he was staring at flickering circuits contained in a large square transparisteel box. It looked vaguely promising, but he wasn't prepared to pick it up. Did that make him a coward? Maybe, but he was too tired to care. The fifth alcove contained a single crystal, the size of a big man's loose fist, beautifully faceted and utterly ruined. Before its destruction, it had been the deep red of a sun's heart, but something had blasted it from the inside out, charring and cracking it. It was Sith, and so must be evil, yet still, he regretted the lost beauty. He kept on walking, discovering more and more things. A hand-sized pyramid, not transparisteel, but actual glass, dull black and traced with red. No hint of its purpose. More crystals, unshaped chunks of rock, some fist-sized, some as small as eggs. Their edges sharp enough to draw blood, colored black and gray and murky dark blue. More books, data crystals, ribbon-tied scrolls. It was a Sith treasure trove, surely. If they escaped Zagula, they'd have to take it with them. The Jedi Council would want to study these artifacts. Perhaps they contained information that could bring about this unspeakable enemy's downfall, which he would work toward in every way he could. For if he'd learned nothing else on Zagula, he'd learned that he'd been wrong. And Obi-Wan, coldly right. The Sith must be hunted down and destroyed without mercy.